Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time.
Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, trauma therapist and coach, and the founder here of Embrace Your Brave. And today I am extremely excited because I have been looking forward to this for ever since I started the podcast, for you guys to meet one of my best friends in the world, one of my favorite humans on the planet. This is Meg. And Meg and I are what we call wartime friends.
We are real.
That's we
real.
Met in seminary, which we lovingly call cemetery.
Right. And we were there by choice.
And we both have just walked through very similar things. We've walked through narcissistic abuse, we've walked through religious trauma. We both are kind of on a journey of deconstruction and asking lots of questions about God, about marriage, about women, about obedience, about ourselves, just in general. And now we are both in our on our healing journeys. We kind of lost connection shortly in the midst of what we now know. We were both living in our own little hells on a different side of on a different side of the country. And then we both are now in our reclaiming ourselves era. Right, Meg?
Amen. Yes.
And Meg, this podcast is called Not That Girl Anymore. Mm-mm. And you are the epitome of Not That Girl Anymore. Okay.
Which bitch.
Yeah. I have watched you completely transform, even just in the last year that we've been reconnected. Both of us are on our own little therapy journeys where we're healing our trauma and our pain and just kind of slowly stepping into who we are and stepping into who we are becoming. And I'm so excited for you guys to meet Meg, know Meg. I hope that Meg becomes a regular around here. She's hilarious, but she's also light and love and one of the purest souls that I know. And so, Meg, welcome to Not That Girl Anymore.
That's
so
really
glad to have you here.
Killing it, basically. We're killing it. Girl, your hair look good too, by the way.
Like it. Look good.
We've been planning this for like a minute. We've been talking about it. We didn't really plan anything. We just talked about doing this. and then today we just decided to do it. So we
just decided.
Yeah.
Well, shit's kind of been going down, you know?
I can do a lot in a little bit of time. Woo!
Yeah. So, Meg, I want to kind of talk a little bit about kind of where we've been and then where we are today. But I want you to know, like, I have on my shirt that says, "Let's go watch the sunset." Because Meg's badass picked up, escaped from her abusive relationship and moved her ass to the beach.
Quite literally. Yeah.
To see the beach every day.
Yeah.
And she calls it her sister.
I wanted to be in like the biggest light, surrounded by the most water.
Mm.
I've just claimed as my sister. She speaks to me and gives me energy and joy and life and light. And I have loved every minute of it. Don't know what I was doing before. What was I doing? I don't know.
Who were we?
Was not any fun. I was dumb.
Yeah,
that was dumb. So Where are we starting from? Goodness gracious, it's like been how many years, Dawn? How many years have we known each
Well,
other?
we started seminary. Was it like
Oh,
2008?
08?
Yeah,
Yeah, August of
2008.
08. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So almost 10, what was it, 8 years? No.
I don't do
That
math.
was bad math, right? Because that only got me to 2016. Darn. Darn, gosh. 18. 18 years.
We're getting
18.
old, bro. So, okay.
Hell just happened. I feel like somebody's told me old. No, girl. I'm like a rare fine wine.
Meg, let's tell them what it was like to live on Kid Row.
Oh, life on Kid Row. Well, there's pictures for sure. 35 plus children just on the back row, which the back row consisted of four sets of four. So that would be 16 townhomes. And they were shoving them in there, man. I felt like it was a competition of how many kids you could have and live in those two bedroom townhomes. Two bedroom townhomes.
Yes.
And they would put them on mattresses on the floor and just line them up. Y'all
Yeah.
sleep on these pads on the floor. That one family remembered they would just have kids sleeping under the table. I didn't even know.
Right.
Ask about them and they were like, they're over there asleep, taking a nap under the table.
Yeah.
We'd find them in diapers. They were just walking around playing in the ditch at like 7:30 in the morning.
Right.
It's crazy. I'd answer the door with a security weapon, like.
Oh man. And I got to live like two doors down from
Yeah.
you, Meg. And I just remember how fun you made it to be there. Because I wouldn't say that where we were was fun, but we figured out how to make it
We figured
fun.
out how to do it. Yes. We'd go to Sonic Happy Hour. We'd strap the children in strollers. The ones that could walk, walked. And we
Yes.
would walk through the interesting neighborhood to, I can find another word for it, interesting neighborhood. And go to Sonic. And back
Yes.
then, oh, and that does sound old when we said that.
Yeah.
But back then, you could get a happy hour for 75 cents.
Whoa.
And we would get a,
The
what
times
would
have
we get every time? What would we get?
changed. Dr. Pepper.
Oh, Jesus.
For me. Oh.
We didn't have a Coke. We would get a Coke. I was trying to bring
Oh,
Queequee into it. No, Coke. A Coke.
yes.
A Coke.
A coat. You can get a coat.
You can have a Coke. Have you
Security.
got ice cream machine out? No, you can have a Coke.
Bunkweekly helped us survive
Yes, that and double
seminary
rainbows. Yeah,
as
that and
well.
double rainbows. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd just literally just wake up and just walk over there as soon as my kids could, like, come on. Because they're all little, right? And
Yeah.
everybody homeschooled. Everybody homeschooled.
Well, that was the only acceptable
Yes.
way to do things.
Yes. And there were those who were higher up on the totem pole of homeschooling because apparently it was a competition.
Like if you have more kids than you.
Right. Well, not that they just had more kids, but everybody was like, so what curriculum are you using? And
Oh.
I hated that conversation. Why did we have to talk about that? Ew. I hated the feeling of like the intense competition there
Yeah.
of who was more spiritual and who was more better at being a mom or who was better at homeschooling or whose kids were better and all of this. And so I
Oh,
was the jaded one though. I walked on campus jaded.
you walked on jaded.
I did. I walked on campus jaded. So
It's kind
I had
of
an
crazy.
attitude problem with women in the what was it called?
Oh, women in ministry. We were the whim.
Whim.
The whim
Whim.
ladies,
Yeah,
yes.
I had an attitude problem. I definitely had an attitude problem with whim. Yeah.
Man.
Because I gave y'all pushback.
Meg, I don't have a whole lot of memory
You
about
repressed all of that.
that time in my life. I know
Yeah.
you live there. I know I the
I just
highlights of.
remember every time we rained, it was like, oh yes, something to do. We would like let the kids go out naked and play in the water. Well, you would let your kids
Not
go out.
naked.
No. Only Ellie
Only Ellie on her
on the
tricycle.
tricycle. No, but we have so many pictures of our kids playing in the rain and playing in the mud and like, oh, this is so poor. And
Yeah.
we're so godly for that.
We were. Yes, we were. But yeah, we definitely made the best of that,
We did. We
for
did.
sure.
And we were still fighting for more the whole time. It was like we felt that it was shallow and not real, and we were fighting for something more real the whole time, even though we didn't know. We were trying to wake up the whole time. We were trying to wake up, or because we knew something was off.
Yeah.
But do you want to tell the tornado story? That one's really good.
Oh,
One of my
yes.
favorite ones.
So, what y'all need to know about Meg is she turns into a freaking
No.
superhero
Psycho. A little crazy when it comes
the
to
midst of a crisis. Tell them about the
it even
tornado.
happening.
Okay.
Well, I thought you were going to tell it. Okay, so Mississippi, some pretty nasty tornadoes.
It must have
We
been, what, 2009
Jackson.
when the tornado came through?
Because we're both
Because we
10.
were both pregnant.
I was big fat and you were halfway.
I
Yeah.
was just chilling, very oblivious to anything happening like I
Yeah.
normally
We were
am.
upstairs in my townhome and we were talking about how to arrange having three children in a two bedroom. So how are we going to do that? And so we were trying to
It's
figure
not
that
actually a
out.
two bedroom. I don't remember
Was it
that.
two or three? I don't remember.
I can't remember.
I don't either. But anyway, we were trying to figure out where to put the baby and how to have like a nursery situation. And I look out the window and like the trees are just, and I was that weird color and I was like, oh. And then you felt the townhome kind of shift a little bit because they were old, real janky, and the
Yeah.
lights flickered. And I just remember grabbing your pregnant ass and like pushing you down the stairs and told you to get in the half bath. And I shoved all the children. How many was there? Five, four, six? Six
Yeah.
children. You, six children. And I was like, get from the toilet, hold on to the pipes, get under the sink. And then for some crazy reason, I was like, I forgot to lock the
The
door. Keep the tornado out. And when I went and I looked out the window and I locked the door, and this big, huge, like solid wood swing set thing that the neighbors had just goes from them by. And I was like, I got to get in the half bath. So I got to get in the half bath. This is not good.
Oh, good.
And then just like that, it was over and we were barricaded in, and
Things with
our
nowhere to
husbands
be
were at the school, and so they had no clue what was going on.
found.
And we were there with all the children barricaded in by the tornado.
And the kids and I were praying in the bathroom. I do
Yes,
remember that.
just say your Bible verses that you were
Just
taught.
say,
Do it. Do it.
"Save us,
Talk to Jesus. He'll listen to
Lord."
Jesus.
And you were saving us in
Yeah, and mommy's gonna say bad words.
the
You pray. Mommy says bad words.
That was wild though, because the tornado like skipped over like our townhome and like hit the ones on the back
Yes.
row.
Well, no, it hit the car, it hit the side. So that's just right
Oh.
beside us. Remember,
Yeah, so
it
that was like on the end of
raked the
us.
side. Yeah, it raked the side of us and then jumped over the middle part and then took out all the front row. And so I remember after our traumatic event and being pregnant that we needed to bring food and water and set up tables like immediately after that, because at the front row, we were helping all of those women and their kids and people up there.
Yeah. That was like a real like disaster emergency
It was
that
because
we were
emergency couldn't get in there. The nobody could get in there.
Yeah.
We had to just do it, which was fine.
And I remember Ella down the street saying,
Oh,
the potato took my blip blah or
flip
something.
flop. The tomato bit my flip flop.
He took a blip blah.
They thought it was great. I mean, there was like something exciting happening, so they thought it was great, and we were
Yeah.
like, just died.
Well, and to this day, Meg, I am terrified of tornadoes. I will
I'm
be
not a
the
huge
girl
fan.
in
I'm not a huge fan.
the
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan. I don't know if I'd go to the closet, but I'm not a huge fan. Still don't have bath over the closet. But yeah, that was a fun moment. We would take care of these children all day long. It's really no
Very
money
much
and
single.
no, yeah, we were single mom in it. And then the husbands would come home. Oh, my favorite was when they would go to you know, it makes my blood boil just even thinking about it. When they would go to deer camp.
Say more.
It drains the life from my soul to even think that I was like, yeah, do that. But so we're there every day while they're off just reading books and listening to people talk, and we're trying to like make ends meet and grocery shop and take care of children in a cardboard box and let them play in the rock box and a swing set and a pool that was about an 8x8 during the summer. And it sounds fun. I know you guys are like, oh, it's so fun. But it was kind of not like it was.
Kind of
We would
not.
sit out on the swing. I vividly remember walking outside, just done, just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And
Don't
Dawn
look at me.
about the
Don't
same
look
time. Yes, Dawn walks out about the same time, and I'm like, don't look at me and don't talk to me. I mean,
me.
we live like this far apart. Okay. There
Yes.
was no privacy at this
Two
place.
doors, though.
And so there's zero privacy. And so you would walk out just to breathe, and other people would be outside, and you were like, damn it. Just want to say a cuss word in private. I don't have to be sad that somebody else heard me say
Yes.
it. And so it was very constraining. But I remember the guys got involved in this, I guess, therapy counseling group or something, where they talked about their feelings because they were so, you know, they had trauma, their trauma egg.
Oh, yeah.
And, but not us. Like, we didn't need any help. We were good.
We were
We were
good.
home cooking and cleaning, and we had a what do you do all day? Oh, I love that question. What do you do all day? They would go off, and it wasn't just like a couple of nights. They would go to Montana for like 10 days, 10 to 14 days, something like that.
And do you know that trip always landed on my birthday? Missed every birthday
You
for.
know, that trip always landed on my nerves, like hard. Like hard on my nerves. But at the same time, I was kind of glad to be rid of him because he just pissed me off a lot. So.
One of the things that kind of hurt me about that is all those extravagant trips he took. He never took me.
No, we
We
didn't get to
never
go to
took a trip
any,
like
we didn't
that.
get to go. We were supposed to be grateful that we got to go see our families. I remember, oh, we get to go out of town to see our family. That.
I didn't even realize how like unequal that was.
Yeah, no.
Because we were taught to be grateful. We're
Yeah.
supposed to be grateful. Our husbands are doing these great things.
And don't ask questions and submit, be submissive. And look, bad things happened on those deer camp trips, okay? Though it's not like they came back these glorious husbands. No, they came back like messed up in the head. Bad.
I remember one particular trip that was very, very distraught. And it was shortly after that that him and I hit our like major marriage crisis.
Oh, I remember. Oh,
So it was, yes. And you know what? It's
I
like,
remember telling me not to ask him any questions, and I was like, that's bullshit. Like,
Well, so bad things happened and it never got exposed. And that's one of the things like I'm realizing in the religious systems is there's a lot of covering up.
oh, girl, there's a lot, and there's a lot of covering up, and there's a lot of abuse towards women. And I mean, and children, but of course, but there is a lot of unspoken abuse towards pastors' wives, women in ministry, just women in general. I've talked to so many women who have been in a similar situation, and they haven't even been pastors' wives, and that have said, you know, even if they come to the church and say, I'm having problems with my husband being abusive, whether, you know, psychologically, emotionally, or physically abusive, they are all like, well, do you have any proof?
The burden of
I'm here. I'm present. I'm sitting in this seat. What do I have to gain by
I'm
destroying?
telling
my marriage by asking for help.
Yes.
Red flag.
Good question. Yeah.
Throat punch. Throat punch. Yeah,
Cool.
it was
Well,
not.
yeah, the courage it takes to even say anything in the
Yeah,
first
and they
place.
knew that. They knew that. They knew that. They know
Yeah.
it now. They know it now. Like their objective when they start this out is by training you when you're younger, right? But then as you go, there's always the talk of like submitting and being a godly wife. Jimmy books I've read on being a godly wife and how many people I've heard talk about being a godly wife. Do you know, I've never once heard anybody say, "Do you know how to love yourself?
Yeah.
Do you know how much God loves you? And then do you know how to love and accept yourself?"
Yeah.
Because if you can't love yourself, like really, you're not even giving the best version of yourself.
Yeah. That definitely was not what I learned.
No, you didn't learn that you were cherished and loved. God laid down his son's life for you, but also like your husband was supposed, we don't talk about, they didn't talk about that. How he's supposed to lay down his life for you. Well, he certainly didn't do it. He was off getting his high dollar education so he could make a six figure salary at a church that didn't care about anything but their reputation of being a high class society church. And I don't want any part of it. No, thank you. No, thank you.
So we were obviously at seminary or cemetery too, because our husbands wanted to be pastors. But I remember saying one day he came home and I was like, look, I'm not going to be that wife that's sitting at home married to this pastor who treats me like shit at home, but in front of the church, you look like this saint or whatever.
There we go. There we go.
Right around that time, I remember I started to wake up to some things because I remember he came home and said, we were kind of fighting a little bit, and he told me he was better than me.
Was this at seminary?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I think you were having more of an awakening and a breaking down in seminary, and I was sucked in by the end of exactly what he wanted me to be or do.
Yeah. That was one of the wake up things because it's like I felt that way. I felt like he felt that way. But when he said it out loud, I was like, oh, holy shit. Like, oh, you really said that, you know? And he really felt that way. And I remember our conversations would just like be circular. And I was like, I'm not talking to you again until we're in front of a therapist, period. And so we started going to therapy at the seminary. But I do remember like that happened while we were in seminary. So my eyes were starting to open and I was starting, my little hell no girl, starting to get a
I
little bit
started seeing her.
awakened.
Because he thought I was influencing you to be that girl. And I was like, probably so. Probably so. Like a lot of the seminary husbands, like the seminary wives' husbands, didn't like me because I had such an attitude problem. But then when I would come home, I couldn't do it for myself. I couldn't do it for myself. But you did, I remember, because I didn't really talk to you a whole lot about me. And,
Well, baby, we didn't talk to each other about what was really going on because
we couldn't. It was against the rules.
we didn't even know either. I mean,
No.
we still didn't know. We didn't like what we were feeling, but we didn't have words for it, and we just felt like we were being ungrateful because that's what we were taught, you know?
Because being a godly wife does mean suppressing the abuse that you're in.
Apparently.
Does. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but apparently it's implied according to all the pastors. Oh.
Yeah.
If I'd have known before I got in this that that's what it said, I would have opted no from a
Yeah.
questionnaire that I never got to fill out.
Right. So, mine ended up not being a pastor, but a therapist. So that took us down a whole different road. But yours did end up being a pastor. And so we kind of separated once we got out of, once we finally graduated seminary, we kind of slowly got disconnected, didn't we? Because
Yeah, we talked some. But you were really, really stressed when you were at fruit camp.
Yes.
Fruit camp was really bad.
Fruit camp was very bad.
It was really bad, and taught you about a lot about how to abuse children and how to be abused. So, fruit camp.
Yes.
I immediately was thrown into being a pastor's wife, like hardcore, because we he got hired on as an associate pastor. It was a very, very wealthy church, and I don't know if anybody, knows this, but being involved in a very wealthy church is worse than being involved in a non-wealthy church
Is it?
because it's very uppity. It's very, you need to say the right things and present the right way. It was all about presentation and outer appearances, and there's a lot of pressure just on your kids, and it doesn't need to be messy, and you don't ever have any problems, and you dress a certain way. And I am like a rebel. I've been a believer since I was 9 years old. Like, I loved loving people who were broken and different and who were hard to love. Like, I loved that. I mean, the people that I loved on in our church were like handicapped people and single moms and people who didn't have it together and needed to hear that it was okay that they didn't have it together. And that was a no-no. So I ended up being not liked by the men. But it was really who just got out of control, like the very minute we got there.
Really?
It was just like seeing a complete, like a switch. Just maybe the lights were always there, and I just noticed them when we got there. But the kids started going. We weren't didn't want to home, We weren't going to homeschool because the church had a school, and so the kids were immediately in school. And they gave me a hard time about the kids being difficult, or they were behind, or whatever. And I was like, oldest one's in third grade. Like, everybody, calm down.
Right.
And
How far is, how do we get behind? Like, how do you?
right, it was like Evie entered kindergarten, and just the pressure, just the constant pressure of needing to dress the right way and go to the women's events and perform the right way and make sure you're setting up and cleaning up and serving people. And it felt very demeaning the whole time. Was about that. Like, he was about the demeaning part of it. Like, he really was. He was always a little like that, but it became more and more and more
Just
about
like out there.
impressing the congregation, and more he was smarter than all of them, and he would come home and just dog all the men out. Like, I could name them this day. And they thought that he was wonderful and would sing his praises, and he would come home and dog them. Elders and how they didn't know what they were doing, and they weren't running the church right. And eventually the senior pastor left, and then was interim pastor, and he really, really wanted the job of senior pastor, like bad. And it crashed and burned. I mean, it all went to his head. He ended up getting the job. They built like a $2 or $3 million sanctuary. That was very high tech and on the school high school campus, and everything was just hard. He got to a point where he would talk about my facial expressions when he preached. He got to where, I mean, he had always had a very messed up perspective of sexual things, but I think one of the most hurtful was just that. Sex was not, for me. It grossed him out that I would, want to have sex, and that sex was just to clear his mind of any lustful thoughts so he could preach. And that's when I knew, hey, we're dealing with some really. I mean, I was young and dumb for sure, and wanted so bad to have his approval, like to have his approval. So I felt like I had the church's approval. I had already been attacked by the church, just over not having a mom and not being good enough to lead youth girls.
Because you
And
didn't have a mom?
yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, they didn't think that I should be teaching the girls about, being introspective and respecting their parents and being a godly woman because I didn't have a mom growing up. They literally, that was what an elder and his wife said. So they wanted to prevent me from teaching.
The hell?
And that was at one of our churches that we were at, Westminster. It was who, if I taught any Bible studies, he said, I'll put the Bible study together for you and you just read it. It was very demeaning. And
Wow.
I'm not dumb. I mean, I have a bachelor's degree and I'm been
Yeah,
in the church for a long time. Like I saw needs and very I'm a hands-on person. I don't use a lot of words, which the Presbyterian Church is more about words. But an intellect and I was more about love and embracing and healing, wounds and things like that.
Like
Yeah.
serving you,
Yeah,
I think
servants
about
are.
you're such a servant. Like you see things that need to be done, and then you,
And that's the way I love people, yeah, by doing
yeah,
them.
absolutely.
And this psychotic bastard didn't see any value in that, He
Wow.
didn't value in himself, and if people listened to him, they would be better off, including me. He didn't spend any time with his kids. We had a calendar where I had to put like time on the calendar for him to spend with his kids or that he would do certain things. It just got out of control, very, very out of control. After the kids went to school, I started working in real estate and I had to ask him if I could go to work. And he said, as long as it doesn't interfere with your daily chores and getting the children, then you can do that.
So you kind of
I
traded
wasn't allowed to have relationships out
out.
of the church. So this was a first that he was going to allow it. And then I started making friends and he was like, you're not allowed to have friends outside the church. It was really bad. It got really, really bad.
What the hell, dude?
Yeah. Yeah. I know he's your favorite person.
No, he's not, girl.
Yeah, he's crazy, but I mean, I could go on for days of just other examples of things that happened that obviously went to the death of us because I left that after 14 years.
Okay, but yeah,
And
14 years,
yeah.
Meg. Like, that's a long ass time. And like, I feel so sad
And
just.
we had problems like on our honeymoon that were red flags. Like I look back on that and I'm like, dang, girl, you were so sold out for Jesus that you literally gave 14 years of just being fighting, just fighting for that marriage that never was really a marriage.
Wow.
Never.
So you saw it on your
Oh,
honeymoon.
oh yeah. Oh yeah. Girl, on my
Like a
honeymoon.
stitch.
On my honeymoon. Yeah, I was a virgin when I got married, and he was not. No judgment. I didn't have any problems with that. But as soon as we got, I had gotten really car sick. And soon as all the way to the cabin, and then we got to the cabin, we had to go upstairs. And I remember it was dark; I couldn't see anything. And I set my bag down, and he like literally just like grabbed me, threw me on the bed, poked it in about. 2 minutes later, maybe he was done. And then I went and threw up everywhere.
Oh gosh, Meg.
Yep.
That's like.
And we woke up the next morning and he said that he wanted to have Bible study. And so, which was the first time he ever wanted to do that. We didn't do that when we were dating. And we had Bible study and I tried to talk and he told me to be quiet because he was going to read and tell me what it said.
What?
Day two. Day two. Day two. So,
Like he switched up like that? Like you were you just like, who the hell is this person? He's like a monster.
And then the rest of the time when he was like, let's get up and have Bible study, I was like, I really don't want to do that. I'm tired. So, but that was day, yeah, that was the first 2 days of us being married.
And
I should have seen it, right? Just dumb girl didn't see it.
you I think you told me you had to read some of the Doug Wilson.
Yeah, one of his
His
on
marriage stuff
marriage.
or
Yeah, his marriage ones. Yeah. The one that talks about what marriage is for, and it's for procreation, and you're not supposed to be on birth control. And if you didn't want to procreate and have children, then you shouldn't have gotten married. And so 3 months into the marriage, I was pregnant. Because 3 months into the marriage, we read this book, and then 3 weeks later, after reading the book, I was pregnant. Apparently, I'm fertile Myrtle over here. So we had
God,
kids.
baby, it just kind of breaks my heart because you didn't really even have a say in anything. I mean, you're just kind of being used here.
But I mean, having that baby kind of saved me from self-destruction anyway. Kept me in the marriage and kept me in the marriage, but Asher was such a gift. So he is such a gift.
I know. I'm so thankful for our kids, man. They're so amazing.
That man right there.
He'll
You don't mess with me and you don't mess with his sisters.
get you, huh?
He'll just ask you where and when. And when.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Damn, so there were some signs early on, it sounds
A couple.
like.
It's not like I didn't see them. I saw them. We had big fights. You know, it was always he was going to get better. It's going to get better. I can remember being told 100 times, oh, it'll be better when this happens. It'll be better when this happens. It'll be better. And it didn't get better. It just escalated and escalated and escalated because when somebody tells you it's going to get better, it just means when you shut the hell up. Like, that's just their way of saying, shut the hell up. You're not going anywhere, you know? And you'll eventually get over it. It doesn't mean that anything is going to change. It just means hopefully in time you'll become numb to it. And I couldn't. The sexual abuse and the demeaning behavior, and then it turned towards my kids, Asher, and he was jealous of the children. That was a big deal.
There's
Jealous
a
of any accomplishment that I had. Hated me being accomplishing anything. Hated it.
So the better you got, the more of a threat you became. The smarter you became, the more independent you became.
But let me tell you, if you ever decide like you've had enough and you actually get brazen enough to say, you know what, I'm walking away from this human, and you're divorcing a pastor or you're divorcing somebody in the church, you just get, if you're in, at least in the Presbyterian church, I can attest to, you better get ready.
Wow.
You better get ready.
What
Because
happened?
hell on wheels, like I look back at that and go, what the fuck? That was like, I'm pretty sure I just lived out some biblical days right there. Like,
God.
he had told me not to talk to anybody in the church about us. First of all, he quit his job without telling me, after he was on sabbatical, and then told me that I had no choice in the decision that we were packing up our kids and moving to Mississippi. And I was like, that's not going to work for me. You don't get to tell me that I have no choice. And so he was like, well, I'm going and you have no choice. And I was like, well, I have a choice. I talked to his attorney. I have a choice. But in all of that, when we decided to end our marriage, he was like, well, just as we're going through this, don't talk to the elders because I don't want it to affect, you know, me getting another job or whatever. And I was like, okay.
Oh, keep the secret, huh?
Yes, but he did not. So he went around to all the elders and deacons in the church and told them that I dressed inappropriately around our son, that I was an alcoholic, that all kinds of things.
Really?
Told them that I even had inappropriate underwear. I remember that. Because before I got a job outside the home, I was given like only a certain amount of money. And when you're a mom, you spend what little money you have on your kids.
So you had financial abuse too? You only had a certain amount of money that you could have in a marriage? Yeah, that's fucked up.
So when I actually got a job after the kids went to school in real estate, I was really good at it. And so I like first year took everybody to Disney on my dime. We
Oh,
stayed at some of the nicest places. And yeah, I bought myself some new clothes along with some underwear. Sorry, I like Victoria's Secret. Not
wow.
because I'm going to be on OnlyFans, but because it's nice, okay? It's comfortable, makes you feel good about yourself. Doesn't mean you want somebody else to see it.
Right. It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah. But for a person he was sexually threatened, is what it was. And so he tried to submit me. Yeah, even when we would have sex, there were some really whacked up stuff that happened, even when we would have sex. And so
Ooh.
I'm so he was just trying to destroy any kind of sexual identity by basically showing, he was told people I was having an affair, like all kinds of things. And I still decided, you know what, I'm still gonna leave. You can turn everybody in the church against me, which is exactly what he did. And so then they decided after I left and filed for the divorce that they would investigate. And me being such a good little Christian girl and being broken, just broken, because people were so mean to me and wouldn't talk to me, wouldn't ask me any questions. Nobody asked me any questions. They just believed everything that he said. They wouldn't help me, they would help him. To this day, kind of makes me so mad that I was so good to these people, and they still to this day have not asked me one question. And they investigated me for like 8 months.
Investigating you?
Yeah, I would be called to their office, they would ask me a bunch of questions. I would give very intimate details of how he was abusive and all of that. And they would say, well, you don't have any proof of that. And they would investigate him. He's very good with his words. Like, if you've ever met a narcissist, like, you know, they're very, very good with their words. He was trained for 4 years on how to use his words. So he was very good at it. And I was transparent, which was part of the problem. When you have somebody like me who's transparent, well, they show all their cards, so you're easily defeated. And you think you're in an honest environment being, you know, questioned by godly men, but instead you're just giving them all the
Everything.
information they need to hang you with it
Yeah,
and
to beat you up.
support, to beat me up with it and support the other side, which they were never going to hold him accountable. He was one of them. And I remember him saying in confidence he didn't know I was in the attic cleaning out the attic because I was moving out. And I heard him tell somebody on the phone, he was like, the only thing that's important to me is I keep my credentials so I can preach. And I was like, wow. Hindsight 2020, that's what they were doing. They were making sure that they built enough of a case against me that his credibility would not be called into question and he could still preach it.
Gosh, man.
They got to a point that another elder from another church had to call them and tell them to leave me alone, or they were gonna, or we were gonna press charges. So we get called all the time.
I mean, you think about that. You're already the vulnerable one. You're a woman. You're
Yeah.
the victim. You're isolated. You're alone, you know? And all
Yeah.
of these people in power are just.
Yeah, but hold up now. Hold
Yeah.
up. That was the facade that we played into, because really what it was is that we were powerful and we were the threat, and they were trying to eliminate the threat, and they
Yeah.
still couldn't. Undefeated 2026, bitch.
Right. That's what we know now, right?
Undefeated 2026. Yeah, that's what we learned. Oh,
Yeah.
ain't nobody beat me yet.
That's right. That's
Not
right.
beat me, not literally. Well, I'm just saying, like,
Yeah.
they really put me through hell. I can remember of all the things that I remember out of that. And I remember lots and lots of details of that whole thing. I really wish I could suppress some of it, but I remember lots and lots of details. I remember the women that were a part of that committee investigating me, because it was several men and several women that I would have to sit in a room and be questioned. And I can remember them pulling me aside, saying, everything you're saying is valid and true, and we believe you, but we can't help you. And you need to go back to your husband. And I was like,
What the hell?
I'm never going back. If that's what this is about, And so after they told that to me, the very next meeting, I remember being all like my insides were on fire. Like, I can't believe these women just said this to me. We believe you. We see it, but we can't help you and you need to go back to like, I just, it went all over me. And so I blew my mind. It just blew my mind. And so they wanted to meet with me again. And I remember thinking, this is the last time I'm going in here. Last time. I sat in that room and they were all just, I remember this chair, it's right here. And they were all like in a circle around me. Was sitting right here. And he had an envelope of papers with him. I was like, envelope of papers, what? The divorce papers? They don't need to see the divorce papers. They're not legal people. I remember being irritated about that. And because it was just a threatening, it was just another way to intimidate. I'm gonna bring the legal papers. Like, I'll
Oh, yeah.
stand in front of everybody.
Intimidate you.
And so they asked me, like, Meg, why do you want to leave? They had asked me every single time, and I've told them the truth every single time, transparently, like all the things. And none of them were ever things like I could prove. That was a big problem. Can't prove it. And he didn't have sex with another woman, so it didn't matter.
That was the only thing.
Because that was the only permissible thing. And so I'll take that over psychological abuse any day, which is really what we're talking about here, psychological abuse.
Seriously, way more.
And watching it happen to my children was even worse. And so I just told him I would rather be the woman at the well than the Pharisee's wife. And that's all I could say.
That's what you said? Wow. It's kind of
If you
thorough.
don't know that analogy, look it up. Jesus went out of his way for that woman who had been with multiple men. He never condemned her for that. We read into that story, we read condemnation into that story. But he's just telling her to prove that he knows who she is. He came there to love her. That's it. He came there to love her, not to criticize, judge, condemn, level her up or anything. Just love her, and went out of his way to do it. And you know, and there isn't a story in the Bible about a Pharisee's wife. Jesus never met a woman, and the Pharisees killed him. So in the end, and so you know, I wouldn't want to be a Pharisee's wife. And that was my, they were very confused by my statement, so I had to explain it to them like I just did, and they were very offended because I was like, I'm calling you guys the Pharisees, draw you picture. And they were very that made them angry, so they kind of upped their Annie and was like, well, we're investigating you to see if we need to excommunicate you from the church. And I was like, don't worry, I'm not going back to a Presbyterian church, okay? Vote me off the island. No, thank you, bitch.
So they basically just abandoned you and your kids.
And attacked,
Yeah,
attacked.
they flipped it
It,
around.
they persecuted, attacked, judged, condemned, and abandoned,
Yeah,
which is
absolutely.
what I believe the church is good at.
Yeah, just
I
flipping
believe
up.
they're very, very good at that.
Right. I mean, yeah, you're telling a story that is like told way too often.
Yeah.
Or maybe not told often enough, but it happens way too often when we experience abuse and we actually go and get honest about it and ask for help, where we actually get more abuse, but now from the people that could actually do something about it.
No, they want the control. They want the control over accountability of their own actions. They want the power and the money over the love and the grace. They want the image over serving their community or serving people in general. They don't want anything to do with real love and real acceptance. They don't. They prove me wrong, and I'm going to show you just another poster child of words said and actions not done. It's just not a safe place anymore. And I didn't build it like that.
Absolutely.
So just because I'm saying it out loud, like, put all your hating comments below. I'm sure I'll read them. Yeah, I've got time for that. But I will say, like, coming on here and talking about it
Mm.
was never meant to do anything for the people who want to rise up in defense of the church. I'm not talking
Yeah.
to you. Okay. Like, keep clicking, keep scrolling, swipe right, whatever. I don't care. Or left or whatever. What is that? Everyone says no. Not a match. We don't match.
Right.
Whichever. Because this is really more about like how much we've both been just beat the shit out of. Because after that, I went for round two with another guy, but that was a completely different swing the pendulum in the other direction. But that's for another day. But
Yeah.
just the ha just freeing ourselves from that and then looking back on it and going, we've walked through the whole, oh, I'm disappointed that that was half of my life, or I put my kids through that, and walking through all of that.
Yeah.
Just waking up one day realizing I'm just a badass. I mean, I can't help that those people aren't.
Yeah.
What I tell you the other day, like, or somebody asked me, what is your job? And I said, to be amazing. And since I was born, it's amazing. I'm so tired of like, no, I'm gonna live my life out loud. Be out loud.
Yeah,
Be out loud.
absolutely.
Be the light.
Yeah. And, when we first started talking about doing a podcast and stuff, it's like we know that there are so many women out there that were just like us.
Yeah, fuck those guys. That's what we say. FTG, baby. FTG. FTG, bro. Put it on a shirt. Hashtag FTG. It goes with girl or guy.
Yeah.
FTG.
But it's like, when we were caught up in that, we couldn't see that either.
No.
But almost just like giving you permission to matter in these in your life in general. We were so conditioned not to matter. When you even when we went into those relationships, they were still a symptom of where we had already been conditioned that we didn't matter in the first place. We had already kind of lost ourselves, so we just fit right into these relationships where we don't
Well,
matter.
we grew up in the 90s where they were already like pressing courtship and making you feel condemned for, wanting to just have an honest relationship with another human. And sex was so bad and intimacy was so bad and, couldn't even hold hands because then somebody would think that you were being promiscuous. It became such a judgmental thing. Like I can remember dating me and he would sit this far away from me at church. And I was like, bro, you made out with me in the car last night. Like, let's be real. It's happening right now. And he was like, well, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. Oh, the real idea.
Yeah,
You don't want
right.
to get anybody the real idea. Not the wrong, but the real.
I'm pretty sure we read I Kissed Dating Goodbye.
Yes, girl. Yes, we did. And we have a book burning. A book burning. I want to bring that one and everyone that Douglas Wilson, everyone.
But purity culture really was the preface to rape culture.
Yes.
I
Did
mean,
you have a purity ring? It's like, what the hell?
well, I don't remember. I know I signed
Purity
the
bracelet or
Sheila
a purity
Bates thing.
ring or,
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting for me because it was supposed to be like you're owned by your dad, and so your dad is your whatever until you get married and hands you over. And but my dad didn't go to church. He wasn't a part of the cult.
Right. That would be great if we could start there, right? But I mean, if your dad doesn't protect you and your dad is just another narcissist controlling freako, then or abusive or neglectful or whatever, then you're left with what? What are you left with then? You're starting from an unknown place of being almost. Like now I have to figure out how a guy is supposed to treat me, but I know you're not supposed to touch me before we get married. And I read that book,
Yeah.
and Sadly enough, I like, or maybe it's not sad for my kids. They're loving it. I freed my children. I was like, let's get some
Yes.
shit wrong. Let's get,
Yeah.
I want to get some shit wrong. Let's go.
Yeah.
And my oldest kid, the way my third born is being raised is very like opposite. We're at the beach, man. Like very opposite of how our brothers and sisters, like, do you remember what you were only allowed to watch certain things
Yes.
when like we
We
were
have
raising
lots of
them?
rules. For some reason, I wouldn't let my kids watch Finding Nemo, and I still don't know
Yeah, I still don't know why. Still don't know why.
why.
Yeah, I still don't know why.
Yeah,
No, I
so
wouldn't let them
many
watch it. No,
things.
my kids were watching like God Rocks and Angel Wars and Howdy Doody and Griffith, the black and white version of Angel.
Salty? Did you watch Salty the
We didn't
same
even get that far with y'all, Salty.
way?
They always wanted to come over and watch God Rocks or Angel Wars. They really liked Angel Wars.
That's
Yeah.
crazy.
And so then over here watching, or we'd watch game shows or stuff like that. And then over here watching like The Office and other
The
things, Off Campus and
Bachelor. Yeah.
crazy
Oh
stuff.
man, you know what? I tell my kids, I hope you're better parent than I am, because I'm just like.
She'll tell me some things she watched, and I was like, I don't even know what that is. And then I'll go and watch it, and I'll be like, oh, I don't want to see that. Oh, God. Turn it
Yeah.
off. Turn it off. Turn it off. And she's like, what, Mom? Like, everybody at school watches this. And I was like, that's what's wrong with you. Turn it off. No. It gives me an opportunity to talk to her about things in culture that I didn't even know existed. But
Yeah.
that's how I look at it now, is this freeing, right?
Yeah.
Let's be free. Let's see how free we can be.
Yeah. Well, and you know, with that, like, for our kids to know their worth and their value so much sooner than we did, you know,
Oh, yeah.
like,
Yeah.
so much was connected to that. How you behaved, what you watched, what you did, what you
What
wore,
you wore.
blah, blah, blah. You know,
What
every.
you did or did not do with your body.
It's
Yeah.
constantly
And
trying to perform for acceptance or.
my 19-year-old daughter, I had to like just recently apologize to her and say, I'm sorry. Because you can tell she's a little bitter. I told her, like, I'm sorry I couldn't give this to you at 15. I'm
Yeah.
sorry the story that you have to tell at 15 will not be the story that I was telling at 15. And I'm sorry. Like, I
Yeah.
was a part of that and I can't take it back, but what I can say is you're here now and we
Yeah.
can enjoy it and be free and learn to love yourself and not be held captive by all those things anymore. Let
Yeah.
the well of grace be as deep as you need it to be.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
let God love you and give it away.
Yeah.
Love you and give it away. And I think you and I always wanted that. We
Yeah.
just wanted to feel God's love and give it away. Feel God's love and give it away. And we kept having all of these obstacles.
Right.
All these motherfuckers just want to kick it away.
Well, it's like it was always so confusing because we were taught that Jesus is love, you know, we're taught
Yeah.
like this type of Jesus, and then we're given something totally opposite. And it's like
Yeah.
our hearts are just like, what is
Yeah.
going on? It's like on the inside, we're like, this doesn't fit.
It's
What
like
is
when you're
this?
in ministry, it's like, yeah, well, that's just the commercial that we are playing for the people in the congregation so we can get money. Your job is to have this perfect family image of everybody so they can see it. And so your job is to birth the babies, make sure the babies are dressed perfectly, that they act perfectly. And when they don't, you need to take personal responsibility of that and cry. And your husband is supposed to be the greatest thing. And when he's not, you're supposed to say, we don't have a perfect marriage. And then we have to listen to, then you give like a little 5-minute spiel about how, you guys argue over something stupid, not even think real, because you're
Yeah.
putting up a fake facade, even with admitting to not being perfect.
Yeah.
instead of just everybody step the hell back, please, and understand this is not about you. This is just not about you. Just not about you. And it needs to be going out and enjoying life. And we weren't allowed to do that. We weren't allowed to just love ourselves and love other people. We weren't.
Absolutely.
We weren't. And so I moved to the beach. Bitch, I know.
I
And
know.
just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing. Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.